Sounds like you have mental problems, man.
Yeah, you got mental problems, man.
Yeah, it really does.
Man.
Whoa. If you have not been there, the basic gist of Cold Stone is that they take ice cream and then they just go ape shit with it. There's like slamming brownies and gummy bears and just hammering it in there. Whatever fat people want in there. Snickers bar, cheeseburger. Let me fuck a Butterfinger into it for you. Just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Jesus. This is way too intense for me. Is that guy's dick a Butterfinger? What just happened? Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Good morning, everybody. It's a beautiful ass Monday morning here in Los Angeles. None of the rain or any other bullshit that they had been predicting happened. I don't even have anything really a format today. I don't have a list of topics. I don't have listener questions. I don't have anything like that. I just literally just feel like babbling for a little bit. So I'm just hitting record. I'm gonna just start talking and see what the hell happens. I know a couple of times I heard random stuff on TV and just different political people and all this other bullshit. And I know at a couple of points people start bringing up the end of the world. Now, the end of the world is a topic that people either hate hearing about or they love discussing, because everybody has their own, you know, little theories and different backstories and all this other bullshit attached to talking about the end of the world or what they think is going to be the end of the world. Now, me personally, I think when it's the end of the world, it's not going to be this long, drawn-out thing. It's not going to be like Mad Max. As cool as that would be, because I'd finally be able to use all these damn knives and swords I have to good use, fighting off the dirt people, I don't think that's how it's going to go down. I think when it's the end of the world, we won't know. I mean, the end of the world, in my eyes, or in my view, would happen, like, in the middle of me recording this show. And I'm not talking about no spiritual end of my world, meaning just me just drop dead in the middle of recording this Rosscast. No, I'm talking about just big flash, everything just gone. Everything just dust. Everything just vanishes instantly, exactly the way it was created. Now, when I remember when I was reading up in the Bible, I was reading about the end of the world, how that went down. And there's a lot of people who still debate that whole last part of the Bible where they talk about the end of the world is like not fake, but it's not God's word, as people put it, because that shit gets raw. They talk about dragons and demons and people rising from the dead and all that. Now, see, if you take that and apply it to like today, regular world ass logic, and I told you somebody rose from the dead, you call me a fucking lunatic. But if you say it's in the Bible, of course it's true. Now, all the people who are saved are supposed to rise from the grave. I don't know if they're going to look exactly like how they did when they were alive, or are they going to just be a whole bunch of creepy-ass looking corpses. I don't know if you got saved a couple of hundred years ago. You're going to look like rot gut. So you're going to rise from the dead looking like rot gut. You ain't going to recognize grandma when she come out the grave, because grandma going to be decomposed a little bit. So I try to figure out, like, when they rise, is it going to just be like a spirit rising? Like, is it like a ghost form, or is it like their physical body? I don't think they're really specific about that. But either way, they're supposed to rise, and then, you know, dragons come out and demons, and then everybody be fighting them. And then some of the unsaved, meaning me, some of us heathens are going to still be around. I don't know why we're still around, but we're going to still be around just to witness this fucked up thing. So we're going to witness this just jacked up ass rapture and just observe it for a while. And then apparently, like, if we survive all that stuff, we get another chance. And, you know, Jesus would be like, hey, do you believe in me now? And I'm like, fuck yes. I just saw all my ancestors rise from the fucking grave and dragons. Like, all you have to do is do the dragon thing, first off. Like, Jesus ain't gotta be all that dramatic. I don't need a flaming sword. I don't need the four horsemen of the apocalypse. I don't need none of that. You show me a dragon that just came out of the ground, I'd be like, holy shit, he's real. That's all I need. Like, everybody always says that. Like, everybody, you know, a lot of people who are pissed off at God, don't believe in God, all they need is, like, a little bit of proof. That's all we need is just a little bit of proof. And if you give a little bit of proof, it's like, oh, okay, cool. Because faith can only take you so damn far. There's a lot of people who believe in God until there's a gun in their face. I think a lot of people just need that traumatic experience. It's funny, because, like, when something traumatic happens, either you start believing in God, or you get real religious real quick and you start praying and stuff, and, like, you never pray, like, that happens, or you're just like, ah, fuck it. Because I remember the first time a gun was in my face, I didn't panic one bit. I never thought about God for one second. It just felt like a very logical situation. I was just like, yeah, this was going to happen at some point. I think at some point in everyone's life, they have a gun pointed at their face. There's different things I think happen just as being a human, and if you interact with other humans, there's just a couple of things that are going to happen in your life. You're going to either have a gun pointed in your face, you're going to get your ass beat, or you're going to have a menage a trois. One of those three things is going to happen. Now, if you're over the age of 30 and you're listening to this and none of those have happened, you're a very rare person. Now, I have not had a menage a trois. Don't want to have a menage a trois. That does not seem entertaining to me. But I have had my ass beat, and I have had multiple times guns put in my face. So I've already cleared those two things, and I'm not looking to have the menage a trois. So I think I'm pretty much covered for the next few years, you know, bearing the dragons do rise from the ground. But I do worry about the whole apocalyptic thing. Like, everybody keeps on saying the Mayans predicted that the end of the world was going to come in 2012, and then Obama became president. It coincided with the 2012 reference. And I was like, oh, shut up. The Mayans were stupid. Anybody bragging about how awesome Mayans were need to kiss my ass. Because you know what? Mayans thought people riding on horses was gods. They saw a man riding a pony, and they said, holy shit. And they dropped to their knees and quickly had their heads cut off. Because they believe that, and they have their calendar. I love how their calendar can predict thousands of years later what was going to happen, and the Mayan calendar stops at 2012. You know why their calendar stopped at 2012? Because they got killed before they could get to 2020. That's what happened. And I'm talking about the damn year, not the video store. So everybody with this whole apocalyptic thing, and it's so terrifying when religious people are excited about the apocalypse.
I feel like George Bush can bring about the biblical apocalypse. I don't mean the road warrior, there's no gas apocalypse, or the Jerry Bruckheimer, the weather's going crazy apocalypse. I mean the revelation of St. John, demons coming out of the ocean, seven-headed beasts, all that stuff. Because here's the thing. I don't think Bush wants to be president. I think he wants to be the last president. Just out in the wasteland in a hockey mask, all mutated and muscular. Just walk away from the gasoline. That's kind of who he wants to be. And if the apocalypse happens, that's how I want to die. Because that's the way to go. I want to see. Because once the apocalypse starts, and you guys will know that it's starting because...
Zombies,
very good. When the zombies come, it means that I'm wrong and there is a God and there is an afterlife. And it also means you will be in the VIP section of eternity, the velvet rope section of forever, because you'll have died in the apocalypse. Everyone else in heaven, can you imagine how boring their stories are? How'd you die, man? A bus accident. How'd you die, man? Fire ants. And they'll go, how'd you die? And you'll go, how'd I die? In the motherfucking apocalypse! It was awesome! Oh, my God! Oh, you should have seen it! Oh, these holes open up in the ground, and these skulls with bat wings came out, and they gnawed on people, and then these volcanoes rose and spewed menstrual blood into the sky, and it formed into Avril Lavigne's face, and she recited the Good Will Hunting screenplay, and the words turned into razor blades, and then you sheared your flesh off, and George Bush was president, and mediocrity held sway!
I actually remember asking a few religious people, this is when I was studying to be a Christian, 2008-2009, I remember asking a few of my religious, you know, friends about this, about the whole apocalypse and end of the world and stuff, and asking about heaven. And I was like, damn, if heaven's so awesome, why isn't everybody just offing themselves, you know, to hurry up and get there, be with, you know, your loved ones, the ones who were saved, and being with God and Jesus and all that stuff. And it was like, you know, it's a catch-22 too, because it was like, no, because if you kill yourself, you go to hell. You're like, shit. So then, I mean, could you make the effort? Could you say, okay, fuck it, you know, I'm going to put myself in danger. I'm become like a bionic cop, become like a Dirty Harry cop, or I'm become a crime fighter or something. So that way, it's like that's like ushering in your death even faster, so then you can hurry up and do that. And they're like, no, because then God would know that you're sinning. And I'm like, you know what? No. This whole catch-22 nonsense just makes absolutely no sense to me, and it's totally confusing. I swear, all the religious stuff and the end-of-the-world stuff just drives me nuts. Especially when you catch those church specials on weekends. You catch one of those church specials, and they start talking about the apocalypse. They start talking about the end of times. Because we're coming to the ends of times, my children. Because when you come to the Lord, and when you come to the end of time, you will know, and you will know. And it's just like, oh, come on, dude. Just all that stuff's not necessary. Why can't we all just live? Why can't we all just live and be happy as fuck and do what we want, and then when you die, you're just dead? But that's the thing. It's like, I already know that when you die, that is not the end of it. Not that I'm saying I believe in a heaven or a hell, because each one of them sound kind of craptacular to me. The description of heaven sounds like it sucks. The description of hell sounds like it sucks. It's just more painful. Like, neither one of the options sound that fun to me. But I do believe in ghosts. And I'm not one of those people who are like, oh, you know, I'm not religious. I'm not Christian. I'm not Christian, Baptist, or Catholic, or Jewish, or Muslim, or anything. But, you know, I'm spiritual. I'm a spiritual person. I'm a spiritual type person, okay? Don't judge me for my beliefs or my lack of beliefs. I don't know why all of a sudden the character became Dame Edna. I don't know why that voice came out of me. But yeah, that's how it goes. So the thing I don't get is that these people who say, I won't even say that I'm spiritual. I just know shit just don't end. Some people wish it would. Like one of my friends I used to work with, he's just like, man, I hope when I die, that's just it. Because life just seems so long. It's not like he has like this whole horrible, painful, you know, life. He didn't have like a tragic life. He's not dying of like ass cancer or anything. But he's just like, you know, this is too much. I don't want it to just keep on going for all eternity. Like the idea of eternity scares the shit out of some people. Like just living forever. Oh my God, that's exhausting. I've only been alive 31 years. I got a couple more left. And every single day, I feel every single moment. This shit feels real long. I think that's why some of those artists like, you know, like Jimi Hendrix and Chris Farley and Kurt Cobain and all these people who die at a young age, they topped out real fast. They did like a lot of awesome shit. And like Janis Joplin, they did like a lot of awesome shit real fast. So by the time they were like 32, they were just done. Like there's nothing left for them to do. And it's kind of like in that comic book Powers. There's this whole comic book Powers where it's this thing called Who Killed Retro Girl. And when they finally find the person who killed Retro Girl, he lets them know. And the way he explains it is so perfect and so disturbing at the same time. I actually have the comic book right here. Let me read to you what this dude said. I told you I did the world a favor. Let me ask you, what do you think we would think of Elvis Presley if he were still alive today? I'll tell you, he'd be a joke. A big fat joke, an infomercial. Or Jim Morrison. Or Janis Joplin. They'd be lounge acts and late night talk show monologue jokes. Like that pulp hero from the 50s, Brandon McQueen. All that he did for this city, now he's a gag, a cautionary tale. I couldn't let that happen to her. You people, you didn't even deserve her. No, you didn't. You see? You see what I did for you? I preserved her. She's a god now, immortal, untouchable. The city needs her just like she is for always, immortal. And now they have her. And now, I don't know what the point of all that was because, like I said, I am babbling like an idiot. But seriously, a lot of people, you top out at a certain age and you're done. Like, you're finished. Not everybody wants to live to be 90. Because I know a lot of friends, I know a lot of people who eat like nothing but healthy stuff, and they're just like, you know, I'm gonna have a healthiest body, and they exercise every day, and they run, and they jog, and they lift weights, and they do all this stuff to preserve themselves to live even longer. No, not everybody wants that. Not every single person wants to live even to 50. Some people are just like hit the age of 30, like, shit, it's all downhill from here. And then they just top out. Now, I'm 31. I don't think I hit my peak at 30 or anything. But there's still a lot of shit I want to do. There's a couple of places I want to go. My ass need to get my ass to Ireland. I still need to get up to Canada. I still need to learn how to do a backflip. Got to see Iron Man 2 and 3 in the Avengers movies. So there's at least a few more years that I still got to make sure I stick around to see this kind of stuff. I know it seems petty to a lot of people, like my year's goals, like the reasons I want to live. But that's the thing. That's the awesome thing about being alive. And that's the awesome thing about having your own choices and being able to make your own decisions, is that they're your decisions. Just as long as you can live with the consequences. Like with my diet and stuff and the way I eat, if all of a sudden I found out I had like some irreparable damage done to my kidneys and livers and lungs and all this other stuff, there'd be nobody I could blame, because I'm not an idiot. I'm not one of those people where I stop smoking and then all of a sudden I get lung cancer and I'm just like, I'm gonna sue the tobacco industry. Or I drink and all of a sudden I'm gonna start suing Bartles and James or something. It's not like that. Everybody is responsible for the decision you make. And I think everybody, you will sit there and consciously or unconsciously make the decision to be a miserable son of a bitch and complain about the exact same stuff every single day until you realize one day it's been years and you're still having the same complaints. Some people are living with their family and still complaining about having to do the dishes. You know what? You get a job and you move. The only dishes you're going to have to do at that point are your own dishes. Or if you have roommates. If you have nasty-ass roommates, then you got to do your nasty-ass roommates' dishes as well. But we all make a decision whether or not we want to put up with some bullshit or not. I'll use my Facebook as an example. On my Facebook, I never have more than 50 people as friends. And when I do, I delete some people. I look through the list and I'm like, who the fuck just doesn't talk to me? Like, I literally look down my Facebook list and I'm like, who on my Facebook absolutely never writes any comments, never says anything? All they're doing is playing like fucking Farmville and Mafia Wars and shit. Who are these people? Now, the first step I do is I ignore them. Like, I'll ignore their status updates for a couple of days because it's like nothing but bullshit like that. And then I'll go back and check on their profile and see what have this person been up to. Now, if I see it's just been the same old bullshit over and over again for the past few weeks and they've never left a comment on me, they never sent me a message, they never communicate with me in any way, because even when I was working, I still had a lot of shit to talk about on Facebook or my blog site or anything like that. Now, when these people get to that point where I'm just like, okay, not only am I ignoring you, I'm not sending you a message because I don't have anything to say, because I don't know what you're up to, because we're not talking on the phone, we're not writing each other and all this other shit, then I just delete them. Like right now, I think I have like 41, 42 people, and by the end of the week, there'll probably be a couple more gone, because I'm some people, it's like a layover. It's like overlapping right now to where I'm seeing what these people who aren't writing to me or anything are up to. So yeah. A lot of people think it's weird and petty. Everybody's sitting there with their 400 friends on Facebook. You know what? If you have 400 friends on Facebook, I better not ever hear you talk about being lonely. Ever. So I'm going to take me a quick random-ass break after this babble fest. This feels weird. It feels weird doing a show like this, because this is how I used to do my shows. Like, I used to just hit record and just start talking about nonsense. So hopefully everybody's enjoying it in some form or fashion. And I'll talk to you all in a minute. Welcome back, everybody. I love that song. It took me so long to find that song again. I don't know where my CD is. I have it on my iTunes, but I do not know where the hell that CD is. I think I loaned it to this old black dude I used to work at UCLA, and that son of a bitch never gave it back to me. Damn him. I should ask my father. I should ask him to go looking for him and see if he still has that CD. Have my father rough him up a little bit. They keep showing this shit on the TV with Bret Michaels. Bret Michaels, rock star. Rock of love, baby. They keep on showing Bret Michaels and how he had like a brain aneurysm and he had an emergency appendectomy a little bit ago. Like, not too damn long ago he had that. Now he got this brain aneurysm. And everybody's already talking about him like he's dead. Like, he's already being promoted to sainthood. Isn't it funny how when people die, like, we always get, like, painted as saints? But when you're alive, you're treated like total shit. I remember when I was, like, in a fourth grade writing for a school newspaper. Or I should say fifth grade, seeing as I was in the fourth grade for 2 weeks. So when I was in the fifth grade, we had a school newspaper at Mid-City. And I remember writing for it. And it was so funny because I did this article about Ronald Reagan. This shows you, even as an ignorant little child, I was pontificating about politics, which I don't talk about that much on this show, oddly enough, because the whole show would just be politically driven. I hate reading about politics, and I end up discussing politics for hours. It's the most goofy thing. So in this article, it was titled "Bad Actor Makes Even Worse President." This was me bitching about Ronald Reagan and like the gas price and everything. And I wish I could find a copy of that article. Judging from the way they do the yearbooks at Mid-City years ago, I doubt an article or a piece of that newspaper, a smidgen of it, even exists to this day unless they keep it archived or something. But I remember writing about that and just totally dogging Ronald Reagan, just talking about how bad of a president he was, and like once he dies, everybody's going to talk about how great of a president he was. Everybody did the same thing with Nixon, and now they're doing the same thing with Bret Michael. The kind of same shit actually happened when Michael Jackson died. Like, everybody, when Michael Jackson was alive, oh, he's a freak, he's a weirdo, oh my god, he's such a strange man, and he needs to be in jail for what he did. And as soon as he died, everybody's just like, oh lord, not Michael. Anybody but Michael Jackson, please, Lord. And everybody started talking like Michael Jackson was just like the best fucking thing on earth. Now, some people, like Danny O from the OShow.com, has always been a fan of Michael Jackson. He will defend Michael Jackson till his death. But some people who were talking all that shit about Michael Jackson, all of a sudden they were really, really all up on Michael Jackson's dick after he died. And it's so funny how people do that. If you're gonna be on somebody's dick, be on their dick while they're alive. Don't wait till they're dead and all of a sudden they're saints. Like, in a few weeks, it's going to be my late brother's birthday. It's like 2-3 weeks from now. Not even 3 weeks. Like, 2 weeks from now, it's going to be my late brother's birthday. And when my brother was alive, I did not vilify him. My brother was my favorite person. Like, growing up, like, you know, and I know I've mentioned this 100 times on this show, but it's my show, so I can talk about it as much as I want because it's my brother. So, ha. My brother's the reason I draw. He's the reason I watch wrestling. He's the reason I'm into a lot of shit that I'm into. And he's the reason why I'm not super pussified. Like, you can't just whoop my ass. Because he did plenty of that, and now I know how not to get my ass whooped because of my brother Kevin. Now, my brother was a cool fucking person. And this wasn't something where I waited till after he died to start talking about. I used to always bring my brother up at some point. And it's funny because right now, a lot of the people I know, they knew high school. Like, some of these people knew me in high school, and then we didn't talk for years. You know, like Heidi, Michelle, Julie, Renard, Kiyoshi. There was all these people I knew in high school, then afterwards we didn't talk for years, and then we got back in contact with each other. So there's this certain period of my life where they just missed this gap on, because I was a miserable bastard in high school. I hated high school. Then the years following, I kind of evened out a little bit more, and then after my brother died, I got so unhappy. Like, I literally thought at one point, I was like, fuck, nothing's going to be funny again, because he was the source of so much stuff that I laughed at, that after he died, I didn't think I'd be able to laugh at shit again, but thankfully I can. Hell, they even made jokes at his funeral. His funeral was actually funny. As odd as that sound, his funeral was actually funny. So it's funny how, like, people just take these people after they die, and they're just like, oh my god, they were the best person on earth and everything. There's people I like in my life. Now, I'm not talking about as in crushes or whatever, or people I want to fuck. I'm talking about, like, friends and stuff. And my actual friends, I like to let you know that I like you. I want to talk to you as much as possible. I want to hang out with you as much as possible. Anything. Like, just some form of contact that I'm in contact with you just so you know that I appreciate having you in my life. But that's getting lost because so many people would rather do everything but speak or hang with somebody. Like, people would rather text them. They'd rather send them a message. They'd rather do everything in their life possible but physically be with that person or actually hear the sound of their voice. Because one of the things that's fucked up after somebody passes is that you miss hearing their voice, and there's no recorded evidence of it. Like, if I drop dead tomorrow, everybody has, like, there's like hours of footage of me from all my crazy ass movies. There's days and weeks worth of material from listening to my show. Like, if I died, you have a way to hear me. But there's so many of my friends and family and people, like, if when they're dead, they're dead. Like, you have no recording of them. I remember for a while they had my brother singing a Lionel Richie song on one of his answer machine things. And I remember after he died, I would just try to, like, I'd see something crazy on wrestling or shit, and just by reflex, I'd pick up the phone to give him a call, and then you get that zap in your head, like, oh yeah, he's dead, you can't give him a call. So what this pretty much is saying, that if you got somebody in your life you actually appreciate and you want them in your life, talk to them. Just give them a call sometimes. It's the easiest damn thing on earth to do. And we all love to pretend that we just don't have time. We all love to pretend how busy we are. I have some friends with kids who make time to speak to me or hang out with me. I have friends who will do that. I have friends who have less kids than those friends who can't call or hang out with me. It's all about time management. I have some friends who have no fucking kids and they can't make time to hang out, or they're too busy for me to hang out with them. Everybody loves to pretend that we all have different forms of time. We all operate on the same exact level of time. Nobody's day is faster than anyone else's. All of us are moving at the exact same time, at the exact same pace. So if you can't find the time out of your day to give somebody that you actually say that you care about, and somebody you call your friend, if you can't find the time in your day to give them a call or just let them know, hey, you're awesome, I'm glad I know you, then don't talk to them. Because you're doing, not even just yourself, you're doing that person that you say that you care about, you're doing them a fucked up, terrible disservice. Now, if I have anybody in my life who not on my end, but on their end, if they're saying to themselves, and or they talk to other friends, and they're just like, oh yeah, I talked to Dante, Dante's awesome, or oh, I have a friend named Dante, and he's awesome, blah, 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 and you haven't talked to me in months, I'd be a very vengeful ghost. Let's just leave it at that. I'm gonna come to your house and flip your mattress over. Because everybody has time in their day for at least 5 minutes to give somebody a call that they say they care about. So yeah, let me get off this high horse, because I'm acrophobic. I got the acrophobia. It's getting kind of high up here. So I'm gonna finish drinking my orange juice. Hope you all enjoyed this random ass episode where I just babbled about everything. I don't even know what I'm gonna put in the synopsis, because I don't remember exactly what I talked about. I know I talked about the comic book powers at some point because it's laying on my bed. So I know that came up at some point. So everybody have an awesome ass week. Take care of yourselves, and I'll talk to you all soon. Rockets.
I think I'll just have a small cup of vanilla if that's okay. This is just too intense for me. Lady behind the counter's like, no, you should try one of our creations, like birthday cake remix, where we take cake batter ice cream, yellow cake, fudge chunks, sprinkles. It's like, you know, that just sounds too intense for me. I'll just have a small cup of vanilla. She goes, quit being a bitch. Whoa. And then I couldn't even get a small, because their sizes are actually like it, love it, and gotta have it. What kind of crackhead terminology is that? Hey, what size you want, man? I don't know, man. I just gotta have it. Put some ice cream in a cup. I'm tweaking.